I believe that there is in the gospel message. I want to tell you a story of a man named Mago. Mago is a fourth generation pastor in his country of Estonia. Mago's father grew up and was in his college years after the Second World War, where communism took hold of the land of Estonia. Mago's father, though he was an incredibly smart man and had the dream of being a doctor, never became one. Because every time he applied to university, they denied him because he was a Christian. Mago, now he actually grew up during the communist times. And from a very young age, Mago was telling me at school they would have these little cards and it would talk about how the student was been, you know, if he was good or bad. And there were six different boxes in on this card. One was about like attendance. You know, if you missed a day of school, you would get a red mark in the attendance box. And there was, you know, a fighting box. Oh, you were being rowdy with the kids and you get a red box in the rowdy box. And Mago's father, when he was growing up, he said, I remember my dad said, there's an honesty box. He said, boys, you can get red marks in any of these other things. I mean, I don't want you to, but never get a red mark in this honesty box. Ever. It's obvious in meeting Mago and spending time with him that the influence of his father and these generations of Christians under the hard times of communism has made him into the man he is today. When he was in his early 20s, he had to be in the Soviet Army, and they knew he was a Christian. So they took him and these other Estonians guys, and they shipped them off to Siberia to be away from everyone else, because they didn't want the Christians interacting with anyone else, especially in the major parts of the Soviet Union. And Mago, though Bibles were completely illegal, he had a small copy of the Gospel of John in Estonia. And he said he remembers going to the army for the first time and he hid the Gospel of John in his belt pocket underneath his pants right here so that they couldn't see it. And now shipped off to Siberia, what had happened is they shipped all these different Estonians with him. So these Russian speakers couldn't speak Estonian. But they would see Mago with this little book speaking a strange language and talking with these other Estonians. They didn't like it. And there was this one general in the army that always would give Mago a hard time because these other Estonians started following him and started listening to what he had in the Gospel of John. And over and over and over, he gave Mago a hard time and said, you cannot be a Christian. You have to swear your allegiance to the Soviet army. And Mago time and time again said, I just can't. I have to stand to my convictions. In this one evening, and in the middle of the night, the soldier went into Mago's quarters. He grabbed him. He took him out in the middle of snowing out in Siberia, in the middle of everywhere. And Mago says he remembers thinking, I'm in the middle of nowhere. No one knows I'm here. No one knows I'm with this guy. I am completely at the mercy of whatever he wants to do with me. And yelling at him, telling him over and over again to renounce his faith, and Mago not giving into that, at one point the Soviet officer pulls out a gun and points it to his head and says, right now you swear your allegiance to this army and renounce your faith. And this is what Mago said. He said, at that time, I remember exactly where I was, exactly what happened, and with the gun to my head, I just remember feeling an overwhelmingly amount of peace. The soldier, just enraged that Mago would not listen to him, he threw his gun on the ground, cursing him out, walking over, and it was just blowing the soldier's mind. To the soldier that the Soviet army, this thing that it could control anywhere, it could go anywhere, it could stop anything, it could put into submission anyone that came in its way, but there was nothing he could do to make Mago bow to the Soviet army. Because there is nothing more powerful than the gospel message. Mago, after this time in the army, he experienced similar trouble as his dad did, being rejected from university time and time again. But slowly, he would go to school, get some classes, and he'd get rejected, and then after going to 6 different colleges, he finally graduated. And I won't go into the rest of his story, but he is now a doctor and an ethicist, and helping the government with different projects here, and the pastor of a church, now actually part-time working for his son, who is a pastor of a church, pastor of the fastest-growing church in Estonia right now. And he also teaches for TCM. Because of TCM, he was able to be trained as a pastor and has gone on to teach for us now as well. When I hear the story of Mago, I'm reminded and I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All throughout history, we see people in movements, in governments, or whatever it may be, try to control or to stop the gospel message. I mean, at times shortly after Christ, in the time of Nero, who's known to be one of the worst persecutors of Christians, who would put a spear through someone's body, dip them in tar, and use them as a candle for his gardens, just because they were Christians. And yet, the church in the first century grew. Later, during the Persian Empire, going all throughout the world in the Middle Ages, just wiping out Christianity everywhere they went, and yet Christianity spread. Even in later, just like in this story I mentioned, during the times of communism, where there is no God, we're not even talking about a different religion, no, God is dead, there is nothing. There is nothing besides the reality right here. And yet, Christianity remained. Now, it's easy to look back at these times and to hear these stories of Nero and Cinder and to the times of communism and think, man, I'm so glad how far we've come. You know, I'm so glad we're not persecuted like we are there. Don't let anyone ever tell you this. And please don't ever think this. Because there are more Christians being persecuted and dying for their faith today than there ever has been in any other point in time in all of history. I mean, this Bible right here, this book that contains the greatest story ever told, that contains the most powerful message in the world, this book, because of that, this is illegal in 51 countries. In 51 different countries, you can either be fined, imprisoned, or even murdered for having this Bible. Why do people do this? Why do people try to stamp it out? Because there is nothing more powerful than the gospel message. When you think about that, it's illegal in other countries, and even places where it is legal, even in places like the United States, because of the message here, there's someone who enters into a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. 26 people dead. Why? Because they were Christians. When you hear the stories even like that, in all of the other countries where because of this book, it is Christian, or it is persecuted, and you think of even the 12 disciples, or the disciples of Christ after he died, besides John, every other one was murdered because of the gospel message. I mean, when you think of all that together, I don't know why anyone in the world would want to touch this book. And yet, year after year, this book is the bestseller. Despite what New York Times bestseller says, because they're discriminatory against Christians, year after year, you look at the different translations, the different publishers, there are more Bibles sold in America and globally than there are than any other books. It's the bestseller, year after year. Do you know that? And it always will be. Why? Because there is nothing more powerful than the gospel message. I want to share another quick story, but I'm going to do it through video. So if you could you please play this video? It's of another TCM graduate who got connected with us, and the reason that he became a TCM graduate and is now trained as a church planter was because of the gospel message that is inside this book.
We started this church 2 years ago, and this is third church, and now it means to me and my wife. We're planting, and we believe, and our church believes, that the best way to reach people for Christ is to plant churches. My name is Sergei. I'm from Belarus, Minsk, and I'm a pastor of New Covenant Church. I was born in a non-Christian family. My father was a Soviet Union officer, so I never heard the gospel, never heard anything about God. But my grandmother, she was a believer, and when I came to her every summer, before I go to sleep, she read the New Testament as a fairy tale. And I shared with my father about these fairy tales about Jesus, and he's got mad, and then he talked to my grandmother, and he has forbidden to read these fairy tales with condition. So if you don't do this anymore, I bring him back again and again every vacation. If you keep doing this, I never bring him back. And she said, okay, I'm never gonna do this anymore. Never ever, I promise you. He said, okay, my father. And I came again for summer vacation. And during the week, in one of the evenings, before I go to sleep, I found a book under my pillow. And it was New Testament. And instead of reading the Bible, I started to read myself. And I fell in love in God. And then I find out that all the stories are true. So Belarus is about 10 million population, and most of people don't know God. On the surface, Belarus looks like a developing country, but in reality, as I know many non-believers, I have friends who don't know God, and they are desperate. But at the same time, people are faced with problems like hatred. They hate one another, they don't love one another, aggressiveness. In spite of that, Belarusian people, naturally kind people, easygoing people. And when I talk to my friends, they don't see a way out of this problem, social problems. They don't know what to do. And for me, it's a chance, it's an opportunity to declare that God has way. As far as for me, I believe Jesus did not invite us to plant church. He invited us to make disciples. And at first glance, it's not a big difference, but actually it's a difference. Because as far as for me, I'm a pastor practicing disciple making. I read Bible with my friends. I talk about God with my friends. And I could feel from several subjects, I forgot the teachers from TCM. But who really encouraged me to do that? I was going to do this, and I was doing that, but they just improved my approach in practically saying, in making disciples. And even I keep doing, using these methods. Last Sunday we baptized five people, four guys and one girl, and we used to read Bible with them on a regular basis. We bring the gospel and build up relationship. And so this is how church planting works. TCM is a big part of this. why we do this and why we do this way. So we are disciple making church, and we are thankful to God for disciple making, for TCM, who encourages us to make disciples with no exaggeration.
For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Because of this book, just in this one example, not only does Sergei, not only is he going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus by discovering Jesus in this book, there's going to be hundreds, perhaps even thousands, after these churches continue to multiply, that are going to be able to go with him. In a nutshell, that is TCM's mission. Our mission is to develop Christian leaders for significant service through higher learning. We come alongside of native Christian leaders like Sergei, who are Christians in their own culture, in their country. They know the culture, they speak the language. They're just missing that training piece. Come and walk alongside of them. Walk alongside of them in their ministries, in their families, and equip them to take this message and create movements, disciple-making movements in their own nations. There's this map right here, and I know it's really difficult to see. It's so small, but in our brochure out front, you'll be able to see it better. You can pick it up and look at it there. We're working in 40-plus nations with 24 different mentoring centers around the globe where these individuals like Sergei can come and be trained through TCM's ministry training programs. And it's our vision is that every nation will have effective leaders of disciple-making movements impacting their churches, their cultures, and their countries for Christ. Though we've been focusing on Eastern Europe, we want to continue to grow deeper there. But anywhere where the Lord leads, any door that opens up in any nation, TCM wants to be there to help train these native pastors to take this message to their own people. I want to encourage all of you to know this book, to read it, to meditate on it, to memorize it. Let it transform your hearts. Because the ties to what's happening around us in this world today are strictly tied to this. It gives meaning, answers, and purpose for every part of our lives. I was reading recently in Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit comes down on the disciples, and honestly, people have no idea what's going on. People are confused. They think people are drunk. I mean, it's in chaos, and yet Peter stands up, and what does he do? He starts quoting and preaching from the book of Joel. I really wonder what would have happened the rest of that day if he didn't know his Bible. You know, if he didn't know that story from Joel, if he wasn't able to look with the eyes of God, knowing the Word, knowing the powerful message, and saying, oh, I know what's going on, and let me tell you. Know this book, because there's nothing more powerful than the gospel message. There's one more story I'd like to share with you. Another TCM student. Her name is Eva. And Eva grew up in Bulgaria. In her whole life was very, I wouldn't say flat out atheist, but just very skeptical. You know, I think anyone, it's very natural to be skeptical until you know the Word, until you've experienced Jesus. So she had a long journey on knowing some Christians, being invited to a small group, studying it herself, taking this book home and reading it and reading it and reading it, and slowly her heart being transformed by this message. And you know what she told me? She said, as I was reading the Bible, I was fascinated by the whole thing. And yet, when I would read through John, I would come to this verse in John 3. And I don't know why, but when I read verse 16, I would just start crying every time. Months later, I'd be reading other things. I'd come back and I'd read John 3:16, and again, I would just start crying. And it wasn't until later, she's like, when I became a Christian and I got involved in church, and that I knew that John 3:16, this was like this famous verse. You know, this was this Christian verse that everyone knows. I had no idea. But see, it's that gospel message. It's that main piece of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. God sending His Son because He loves us. Because we sure don't deserve that. But He sent His Son so that we may have eternal life. It was that main piece that when Eva read this, the whole puzzle finally, you know, fit together. I'm taking a class in biblical Hebrew right now, and I was looking online and searching on YouTube for some helpful resources and a few videos of how to pronounce certain things, and I came across these lectures. It was called, like, Introduction to the Hebrew Bible, from a lecturer from the University of Yale. So, okay, well, that looks maybe kind of interesting. Let me download the first, you know, lecture. So I'm listening to that, and honestly, I got super annoyed with the whole thing, but I ended up just finishing it because it was a secular view on the Bible. And it was analyzing the Hebrew scripture and the Israelites. But yet, you know, that big piece, she wasn't a Christian, the university teacher, and I had honestly never listened to a course on the Bible from someone who wasn't a Christian. And it's just so obvious, and it hurt my heart to hear these things. It's because the Bible is so beautiful. It's like looking at a completed puzzle, but that one piece, that one main piece in the middle is missing. You know, the Jesus, the John 3:16 was not there at all. And I don't care how beautiful the rest of the puzzle is, when you look at it, your eyes just go right to that piece that's missing, you know? Because it's not complete, it's not made whole. I also listened to this podcast, this political podcast. I try to stay up in all the crazy stuff that's going on in our world today. And he's a Jew. And sometimes he's talking about the Bible. And I'm listening to him. I'm like, yeah, that's good. Yes, that's right. He keeps going and going. But I'm like, it's just not quite there. You know? Because naturally, in his religion, the Jew, he's missing that Jesus piece. And there's just that oomph that's missing from it. Because it's missing that gospel message. And it makes me think, and it makes me wonder, of all the people around me, I mean, you can have a good life, you can be nice to people, you can even know your Bible. But if you're missing that one big piece, that can make all the difference. Last time I was here, I forget when it was, but 1 or 2 years ago, but I preached specifically about the Great Commission and what I believe is God's one command is to make disciples. And that stems from the Great Commandment to love God and love others. Why? Because He loved us so much that He sent His Son down to die for us so that we may have eternal life. Honestly, going through this book, it makes me think, you know, I have different favorite Bible verses. I think my favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. Because that's the main piece. And if you guys have not had that main piece in your life, where you haven't experienced that saving grace of Jesus Christ, I mean, surely that is the first invitation for everyone today. Know this book. Be transformed by it. Be used by God. And let me tell you, another thing I talked about in this last sermon when I was here last is you don't have to have your life put together to be used by God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He fills the gaps that you can't fill yourself. All you need to do is focus on Him. Know the Word. Be close to the Father. And then just have the courage to step through the doors that the Lord opens for you. Whether it's sharing your faith with your friend, whether it's standing up for something that you know is right, whatever it may be. I believe that there is nothing more powerful than the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to come and to speak with you. I would love to invite you to know and learn and get connected with TCM further. There's some stuff out on the table out here. And in fact, there's a white piece of paper that has another story, like the stories that I mentioned to you today on the front and the back. I would encourage you to take one of those pieces of paper, sign up for our mailings and we have a prayer video that sends out videos like that video of Sergey out to just help update people on how they can best pray for this ministry. We need this church. We need each and every one of you to be praying, giving, serving, whatever we can to help raise up more leaders of disciple-making movements to impact their churches, cultures, and countries for Christ. So God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us to have the Bible and to know it and to be able to hold it freely. And though, in my opinion, even in the United States, things are becoming more hostile towards the message. It is no doubt that Satan is alive and well. There's no doubt that when the darkness gets darker and Satan continues to attack, try to stop or control this book and this message, that is precisely when the light can shine brighter. So I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you use each and every individual that is in this room. Lord, you know the thoughts, the desires they have. You know their lives. You know their problems. You know every single hair that's on their heads. Father, we pray, as you have invited us to be a part of your mission and to make disciples, that you graciously use us to be your tools, your hands and your feet, to take this message to the ends of this earth. Give us your eyes to see the opportunities to serve with TCM in places far on the other side of the globe and to serve our neighbors, our families, and those directly around us. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, who gives meaning and purpose to all forms of life. And it's in His name that we pray and we ask in faith that you be with us. Amen.
TCM is one of several ministries we serve that helps us take the gospel to the world, literally. And the unique thing, we talked about this in our focus last week, Jeff and I did. The unique thing about this book being so powerful is that its message is powerful enough to reach the ends of the earth and speak to the ends of the earth. But it's also unique enough to speak to you personally.